You're listening to The World and Everything in It. I'm Kent Covington. The echoes of last week's horrific terrorist shootings at two military facilities in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which reignited the national debate over gun control. Some are calling for stricter laws to limit the public's access to firearms, while others are questioning why military personnel on U.S. bases aren't allowed to carry weapons for self-defense. World Radio's Jim Henry files this report.
A mournful rendition of God Bless America at a prayer vigil for the five victims of last week's shooting in Chattanooga. Four Marines and one sailor at a recruiting station were killed Thursday by a spray of bullets from a Muslim man who authorities say does not appear to have ties to international terror groups. Police responding to the shooting eventually killed the gunman. The Fort Hood and Navy Yard shootings and now this latest attack have many questioning a Pentagon policy that restricts military personnel from carrying weapons on U.S. bases. President Obama, as commander-in-chief, could reverse that policy with the stroke of a pen, but shortly after the Chattanooga shooting, the president said more study is needed.
You know, we take all shootings very seriously. Obviously, when you have an attack on a U.S. military facility, then we have to make sure that we have all the information necessary to make an assessment in terms of how this attack took place and what further precautions we can take in the future.
Defense Secretary Ashton Carter said that assessment is already underway.
I'd ask the services to quickly, but in a comprehensive way, assess additional things that they might recommend. I really want to give them the chance to look at, do an assessment, and come back to me with facts and recommendations.
The Pentagon reportedly has now ordered recruiting station personnel to implement new security procedures, not on the list carrying firearms, on the list closing the blinds.
I don't think that goes near far enough.
GOP Congressman Scott Desjarlais just introduced a bill in the House that would allow military personnel to carry weapons at U.S. installations. He says the gun ban on bases has to go.
The perception is now that these lone wolves or other would-be attackers know that these soft targets are not able to defend themselves, and that's got to change. It's unfair to put our men and women in uniform who are trained to handle these kind of weapons in a position where they are basically sitting ducks.
The restriction on military personnel carrying weapons on U.S. installations was actually implemented under a Republican president, George H.W. Bush. It was later strengthened under Bill Clinton. But the military brass may not be anxious to do away with the ban. After the Chattanooga shooting, U.S. Army Chief of Staff Ray Odierno said safety is a concern.
I think we have to be careful about overarming ourselves. And I'm not talking about we end up attacking each other, you know, accidental discharges and everything else that goes along with having weapons that are loaded that causes injuries.
But the original reason for the ban in 1992 had nothing to do with gun safety and everything to do with appearances. That, according to John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center.
They just wanted to make the military more like a business. And they said, look, businesses don't carry around guns. And so why should we have military officers or military personnel carry around guns? That was basically all it was to, quote unquote, make it more professional.
But that was more than 20 years ago, long before the war on terror. Why is the policy still in place after repeated mass shootings at military installations? Lott believes part of it is President Obama's strong belief in gun control. He discussed the issue with the president years ago when they both taught at the University of Chicago Law School. Lott says if Barack Obama had his way, no one would have access to guns.
The fact that he doesn't want soldiers to be able to have guns for protection when they're in the United States isn't a huge surprise to me.
Military historian and conservative columnist A.W.R. Hawkins says the Chattanooga shooting shows once again that gun control laws simply don't work. He says nothing could have stopped the gunman from opening fire at the recruiting center.
But what could have happened is once the attack began, it could have been nipped. Someone could have pulled a weapon and ended the attack, either by simply returning fire and scaring him off or by returning fire and killing him. Either way, the attack would have ended. But that option was not there because of a silly law that prevents our military personnel from being armed.
The civilian equivalent of the no guns on base rule are laws and regulations creating gun-free zones. Last week, a jury found James Holmes, the 2012 Aurora, Colorado theater shooter, guilty on 12 counts of murder. Hawkins says the theater Holmes chose for his crime was in a so-called gun-free zone.
James Holmes drove by a number of theaters, drove by a number which were much closer to his home, but he went past all of those because all of those theaters allow concealed carry permit holders to have guns for self-defense. He chose a theater that banned even concealed carry permit holders from having guns. Why? Because it's much more convenient to open fire on people if none of those people have the ability to shoot back.
But gun control advocates counter that in most cases, shooters have other reasons to select their targets: personal issues at work, bullying in school, or racial hatred. And that ordinary citizens, even those licensed to carry firearms, are likely to panic and make a bad situation worse. They also say that gun-free zones are only a start, not the whole solution to gun violence. But Trevor Burris of the Cato Institute says people need to realize there's an important distinction between what he calls fake gun-free zones, where a sign or a rule establishes a policy that guns aren't allowed, and real gun-free zones.
A real gun-free zone, like a courthouse or the White House or something, where at least only some people have guns, where everyone is screened going in. Those real gun-free zones are fine, but fake gun-free zones are incredibly dangerous, and it is hard to imagine why people would think that such words would be suitably dissuading from someone who wanted to commit an atrocity.
But the gun control movement is hardly disillusioned by the failure of gun-free zones to protect the public. After the Chattanooga shooting last week, Shannon Watts, founder of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, told MSNBC her side is gaining strength.
We're seeing a bill introduced to close the default proceed, which basically lets retailers sell guns after 3 days with an incomplete background check. We're seeing bills introduced to stop gun trafficking. So we are seeing signs that Congress realizes this is an issue and they need to do something. But make no mistake, this is going to be the number one voting issue for many, many women and mothers in this country in 2016.
But with a Republican Congress, a Democrat administration, and a split Supreme Court, the debate over gun control is likely to rage on for years to come. For the world and everything in it, I'm Jim Henry.